time is running out for the Cyclones. And Texas Tech completes the improbable comeback. They're storming the court in Lubbock.
And well, they should. Texas Tech last night picking up their first conference win of the year, 80-77 over number 13, Iowa State. Iowa State led by as many as 23 with 12 minutes and 38 seconds remaining in the game. But Texas Tech fought back. Kevin O'Banner dropped 24 points in the win. Red Raiders 12-10, 1-8 in the Big 12. Iowa State now 15-6, 6-3 in the Big 12. So you had a situation where you had Iowa State right at the top of the Big 12 standings against the worst team in the Big 12 and one of the best teams in the Big 12 blew a 23-point lead with 12:38 to go on the road at the last place team. If that doesn't tell you the depth of this conference after Oklahoma destroyed number 2 Alabama and Oklahoma was like 8th or 9th in the standings, I don't know what does. The Big 12 has 6 teams in the top 15 with the latest rankings, including K-State at number 7, KU at number 8, and KU and K-State will play each other tonight in Lawrence. We'll preview that and hear from Bill Self and Jerome Tang coming up in just a little bit. Another great game last night in the Big 12, as almost all of them are. Number 10, Texas, won at home against number 11, Baylor, 76-71. Longhorns are 18-4, 7-2 in the Big 12, and Baylor is now 16-6, 5-4 in the Big 12. And of course, K-State is 6-2 in the Big 12. KU's 5-3. So you've got, and Iowa State's now 6-3. So technically, Texas is in the lead right now by half a game over K-State in the Big 12 standing. So, and with the interim coach after their coach got fired earlier in the year. So it is crazy, and the Big 12 was crazier again last night. And who knows what craziness will ensue tonight in Lawrence as K-State and KU, the rematch just 2 weeks later after K-State won in overtime over KU in Manhattan, 83-82. Something tells me that Kevin McCullough will not foul out tonight with 5:47 to play. Something tells me KJ Adams will not foul out with 1:43 to play. Something tells me that Grady Dick will not foul out in overtime if the game goes overtime. And something tells me that KU won't go 6 of 29 from 3. Something also tells me that Marquise Noel will not be held to 4 points. And something tells me that DeJuan Harris, odds are, is not going to hit his face on the floor to where he might be okay the rest of the game, because you can't convince me that he was all there. I mean, I saw his eyes after he hit the floor with his face. I still was like, how in the world did he clear concussion protocol and come back into that game? And I do have my questions as to whether he truly did. But it is what it is. And KU, with that big win over Kentucky, they got to feel a lot better about things going in the game tonight. Of course, K-State destroyed Florida over the past weekend. So that's a huge rematch tonight. And it's really, I mean, you look at it in regards to the Big 12 race, I think it's a must-win for KU. It's not a must-win for K-State. It's a must-win for KU because KU is a game back, and they are at home. K-State's already held serve at home. K-State loses this game. K-State could still easily win the Big 12, or there could be a 3- or 4-way tie, as many people have been predicting. If KU loses, they're down basically 3 games to K-State. You've lost a home and home, and you need some help the rest of the way. And I think the team that wins the Big 12 is going to probably be 12-6 or 13-5. I don't think there's anything better than that. And we already have everybody with 2 losses, and we're not even quite to the halfway point for some teams. So if you go 14-4, you're winning this league outright. 13-5, I think you're winning it possibly outright. 12-6, I think you get a share. And so if K-State's 6-3 and KU 6-3 after tonight, that means KU beats K-State and Lawrence, then there you are. 6-3 halfway through, do the same thing the rest of the way, 12-6, and K-State, KU, Texas, and TCU or Baylor or somebody, it might be a 4-way tie, it's possible. And guess what? There are no tiebreakers. Everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets a ring, everybody gets to brag that they're Big 12 champs, even if they beat them head-to-head, you know, 2 out of 2 times, which happened 1 year with KU and K-State. Now, head-to-head does play a role when you go into seeding for the Big 12 tournament. So, big game tonight between Kansas and Kansas State. And since I'm already there, we'll go ahead and wrap up the KU K-State side of things. And here is Bill Self on the second matchup with K-State.
Well, I think there's some things that we actually did okay in the first matchup. But, you know, obviously from a better standpoint, we need to play better one-on-one defense. Our closeouts weren't any good. And, of course, it helps if you shoot the ball better. But, you know, those are things sometimes that aren't controllable. I tend to really focus on controllables. And the controllables are, you know, we can certainly rebound better. We can be much more alert defensively, pay attention to scout report better, execute better. And then, you know, in the late game situation, obviously, we need to be better than we were in Manhattan.
K-State, to me, they're playing with house money. They beat KU already A lot of people are going to pick KU to win the rematch. KU's mad as heck, you know, so forth and so on. Once again, K-State fans, many of them will not give K-State a chance to win because of where the game's being played. I will say once again, K-State can definitely play with KU, and they can definitely beat KU tonight in Lawrence. Here's Jerome Tang on prepping for the rematch 2 weeks later.
We know them, right? And so we got a good feel. So there's less personnel stuff, and what we have to figure out is what they did against us last time that was effective, what we did against them, and then what adjustments are they going to make, and then have adjustments to the adjustment, you know, that's thing. And so we're excited about the opportunity.
Listen, I picked K-State to beat KU the first time. I think K-State can win tonight, but I'm going to pick KU. I think you just play the odds here. The odds to me are KU's at home. They're mad they lost the first time. I really like the fact that KU did win this game. I got a lot of K-State fans telling me, well, I'm so glad KU beat Kentucky because I didn't want them on a four-game losing streak coming to Lawrence. Honestly, I think you should have been thinking the opposite, because KU then would be questioning themselves going into this game. Four losses in a row. Are you kidding me? They would be questioning themselves. Now, would they get up more for the game because they lost four in a row instead of three out of the last four? I don't think it matters. I think KU is going to get up for this game whether they're losing 10 in a row or 2 in a row or 1-10 in a row, because they lost to K-State the first time. So I don't think what happened against Kentucky impacts this game, other than I think KU regained some mojo. By winning at Kentucky, they regained some mojo, and I think that's scary for K-State going in this game tonight. I think it's going to be a great game. Dusty gets the night off so he can watch it. You'll have to tell me all about it, as I'll be calling games on the radio, as will Jason. But looking forward to it. I got KU winning tonight, and I think it'll be fairly tight. I got KU winning by, I'll say KU by four. Dusty, what you picking?
Yeah, I don't think it matters what happened in the Kentucky game, to be completely honest with you. Win-loss, as far as...
I think it definitely does. If Kansas would have lost four in a row, and they get spanked by Kentucky, I mean, they were down 9-4 early in that game. I think I disagree 1,000%. Because Kansas had been questioning themselves. They had been down early. They had been losing games. They got blown out at home by TCU. They were in a funk offensively. And they go to Kentucky and put together a complete game with various guys getting back on track. KJ Adams got back on track with 17 points. Jalen Wilson's been on track all year. McCullough got back on track after sprained ankle. I think the fact that they won that game, I think it's huge for the confidence factor of KU. I'm not saying they wouldn't be confident going into the K-State game, but I think, listen, no team under Bill Self's ever lost four in a row. These KU players have never gone through losing three in a row, let alone four in a row. And you lose four in a row and you go in the K-State game, yeah, you're going to be up for the game, but you're still going to probably be questioning yourselves a little bit. Whereas you can come off the Kentucky win and go, we just beat a team that had been playing really well, that's loaded with athleticism. And I think that gives you a little bit of a boost going in the K-State game. So I don't think it doesn't matter.
You didn't let me finish.
Well, you
I was
going to
say from
matter.
A K-State perspective, what they did against Kentucky doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
From a K-State perspective?
As a K-State fan for me, I'm like, I don't care what they did there with my team going into that game. K-State's where they need to be right now.
Many K-State fans disagree with you and said that they don't want them on a four-game losing streak going in the Lawrence.
Yeah, four-game losing streak. They
I agree
Kentucky.
With you.
I don't
matter.
Care
I agree
on
that.
My side of
I
it.
I agree with that.
And I didn't get all the way through what I was going to say about it. But from this side, don't care. I know where K-State is. I know who their coach is. I know what they did. And I didn't watch all the game yet the first time these two teams met. But I know that these two teams are not the typical two teams that are going to be meeting in Lawrence between K-State and KU. If you think that just because K-State's going to Lawrence tonight, they can't compete with KU because they're on the road, then you're not watching K-State basketball this year. You don't know what their team is.
They won at Waco. They could have won at Iowa State.
They've won three games in overtime in this conference. They're a different team. They're a different group of athletes. For Kansas, yeah, sure. I mean, they definitely had to get some confidence back after a three-game losing streak. There's no question about that. I don't think from their focus standpoint of who they're playing that the Kentucky game mattered win or loss, of the fact that they're playing K-State and they just lost to them 2 weeks ago. So they'll be focused for this game, and there's no doubt about that side of it. But yeah, I agree with you that they needed to gain confidence on a three-game losing streak. Anybody needs to gain confidence and get a win.
And your last home game, you got beat by 23.
Yeah, no matter who it is, you've got to – you want to stop that.
Right.
You want to stop it after two.
Sure.
It doesn't matter how many in a row you start losing. You want to stop it, and you got to get confidence back in some of those areas. And obviously they did that at Kentucky. So, yeah, I think KU's going to win tonight. I think it'll be a close game, kind of like you, and I think they'll win it by three or four. I think it'll probably be maybe a little lower scoring this time around if KU plays defense a little better, 69-65, something like that, in that area.
I see. I think in Lawrence, usually the game seems to be higher scoring.
It seems to be higher scoring for Kansas.
Yes, right. Yeah. Well, I think they'll be all right tonight. I think it'll be a good game. Quick prediction, Jason. We got to move on.
78-75, Kansas.
Everybody thinks it'll be pretty close. All right, high school sports tonight, Dusty.
Yeah, we got high school basketball. We'll start actually with high school wrestling locker room chats on Katy Country 94 at 5:15. So stay tuned for those. We'll talk with the coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center here this evening. And again, that's coming up here tonight on Katy Country 94. You can always listen to those online at katycountry94.com as well. Games on the radio and video stream, Katy Country 94. We have Sylvan Lucas at Rock Hills. And then on NCKSSports.com, that's on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, Sylvan Lucas at Rock Hills. And then NCKSSports.com, the Beloit Trojan Channel, Republic County at Beloit. So those are the games that are going on. Pregame 5:50 for those and tip off at 6 for the girls, and boys games will follow. Other games in the area tonight, Osborne at Southern Cloud, Thunder Ridge at St. John's Tipton, Chase at Lincoln, Smith Center at Hoxie, and Clifton Clyde is at Concordia tonight. You can find the full schedule for the MPL, North Central Activities Association, always online at NCKSSports.com. We'll preview the Sylvan Lucas Rock Hills game here first on Katy Country 94, as the Mustangs and Lady Grizzlies have already played once this season. Rock Hills is 6-7, 3-2 in the MPL. Sylvan Lucas 10-3 and 5-0 in the league. Two teams met in the fifth place game of the NPL tournament. Sylvan Lucas won 45-37 on January 20th. Rock Hills coach Nick Meisner talking about this rematch here against Sylvan Lucas tonight.
One thing we're going to work on and being aggressive offensively and not let the defense take it to us and kind of stifle our offense like they did there. But, you know, the Novi girl's good. We got to keep an eye on her. They kind of go as she goes. But they've got 2, 3, 4 girls that can score too and really step up. So it's really tough to guard and defend that whole team. And so we'll have a couple different defenses looking at them, you know, and be ready to adjust.
So, again, Rock Hills, they've met once already, and Sylvan Lucas coach Craig Batchman, he gave his thoughts on what his team learned the first time around.
Don't have it. Not here on the – not on the computer, Batchman.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Sorry. Not there.
Yeah. So, he kind of just said that they need to get at the guards, and they do have the ability to score
here,
a different
here
player.
Go. So here I'll pull it up here. Somehow it was closed.
I think just being able to have multiple people step up and score on our team – kind of gets to them a little bit. You know, we weren't able to stop Welch very well. You know, she's a great player. And they had some other girls that stepped up and were hitting shots outside. So we're just really going to have to be key on all of them and make sure that we get out and guard Welchel and then get out and guard the three-point shots.
Again, Sylvan Lucas did win the first meeting on January 20th by 8, so it should be an interesting game tonight. They're up in Mankato on the girls' side. The boys' contest following the girls' game, Rock Hills 6-6, 3-2 in the NPL. They're definitely making improvements as the season goes along. Sylvan Lucas is at 10-3, 5-0 in the league, and Sylvan Lucas coach Jeff Starkey on the Grizzlies' backcourt here tonight.
We got some good young guards, and we're kind of experiencing that too with our young guards you don't always know what you're going to get, but when they play well, it can be really, really good and really fun to watch. And so, you know, that's one of the concerns with them is their young guards are capable. They're probably fighting some consistency issues right now because they're young, and so, you know, if they play well, then I think they can be a problem for you.
And then Rock Hills coach Zach Duffy on the Mustangs in this matchup.
Yeah, that's a very good team, very well-coached team there. A lot of good athletes. We're going to have to make an emphasis of, you know, the Dole kid, he really makes them go. And not only that, you can't just focus on him. They got a big guy on the inside and a couple good shooters on the outside. And like I said, they're just really rangy and athletic. So it's going to be a good challenge for us. And we're going to have to do some things to kind of mix up defense and keep them on their toes as best we can. But very good team and it'd be a good barometer for where we're at.
Southern Lucas Rock Hills on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Jason will be calling the action. Pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 and tip off for that girls' contest around 6 with the boys' game following here this evening.
Tonight on nccastsports.com, via the Beloit Trojan channel, the Beloit Trojans taking on Republic County. Second time this season teams have met. Republic County's girls have not won a game in quite some time. They've lost 37 in a row, but their closest loss was to Beloit in Belleville, 41-34, as it took freshman Brecken Boudreaux 15 points, a career high, all in the second half to allow Beloit to get the win. Shauna Remus, the head coach of the Lady Trojans, coming in record 3-11. What she's looking for in the rematch?
Well, just consistency. I mean, that's what we're looking for right now. You know, offensive consistency and controlling our turnovers, and then, you know, handling what we can do defensively. They've got some talented kids as well. You know, they're much improved this year, so it'll be another tough test for us. But we're excited for the opportunities, and you know, our games are limited in terms of how many we have left. And these kids are just learning something new every game, every day, and you can see it kind of all clicking. So it's fun to see that, and I think we'll have a good showing on Tuesday.
All four of these teams had Friday off, so they've had a week to prepare for one another. The game's in Beloit tonight. Girls game at 5:50 with pregame. Boys game to follow. Beloit boys 10-4. Winners of 10 of the last 11, 4-1 NCAA. Republic County coming in 3-10, 1-4 in league play. Beloit won the first meeting 67-26. Wyatt Brockman, 18 points in 5 threes in that game. Beloit jumped out a 13-0 lead and never looked back. Republic County really struggling to shoot the ball, shooting around 30% for the season and only 20% from 3. Ryan Eilert hopes his team is focused and ready to go against Republic County tonight.
One thing I've been pleased with this team is each night we're coming out, you know, with intensity and not having that game where we almost step back a little bit. And against Republic County, it's going to need to be that way. You know, they've got a couple kids that if they get hot can put the ball in the hole. But, you know, for us, it's just continue to improve and making sure we come with the right mindset on Tuesday.
All right. So it is Sylvan Lucas tonight against Rock Hills. And Is that game at Sylvan or Rock Hills? We got on the schedule here. Is that Sylvan? You have in the deal that Rock Hills is hosting.
I must have messed up on
I just want to know which one. I think Sylvan. Jason needs to know where
it
needs to be.
It's got to be at Sylvan.
Is that Sylvan?
Sylvan?
Okay.
Up there.
All right. I just want to make
sure. I will
sure.
fix that.
I just happened to look, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
Wait a minute. It's got to be one or the other, obviously. I've had horrible nightmares of going to the wrong place before. That would be really bad.
Yeah. My problem was I was not prepping for it, and I just.
Yeah. It's fine. Dusty doesn't understand how to have a night off. That's what we're basically saying, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. So. Rock Hills at Sylvan Lucas tonight.
Okay, I will fix everything that says Mankato or anything like that. I think I put Mankato on the graphic, too.
I just want to make darn sure we get that right.
If it says Sylvan on that, it's at Sylvan.
I messed up a graphic this year, and I had Beloit at Minneapolis, and I heard three people right away let me know that I made a mistake. And I'm so bad. Sorry, my bad. I did mess up, and I fixed it. So don't feel bad. I've done it before, too. So Rock Hills at Sylvan Lucas tonight on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, and Beloit hosting Republic County. NCKSports.com with the Blake Trojan channel. Finally, before we get to Seren Petro and talk Chiefs, the Royals and pitcher Zach Greinke have reportedly agreed to a new one-year deal. Some reports say it's $8 million for 1 year to keep the veteran starter in KC after he returned the Royals last season. Greinke was paid $13 million last year. He went just 3-9, but didn't have any run support. ERA of 3.68, just 73 strikeouts, 137 innings, but he allowed 2 runs or fewer in 17 of his 26 starts, and I say I'm all for it. If these young pitchers aren't ready to go, let Zach Greinke be a bridge. I'd love to see him finish his career in KC, and I would think this is his last year, but you never know.